Here begins the third and final segment of my Pencast conversation with Mr. Ashley Bell, Assistant Secretary for Customs and Border Modernization at the Australian Border Force.
What are the biggest challenges for customs in communicating with expert/scientific communities outside of the customs world, like in academia or in private industry? Are there different languages being spoken, different expectations, and how do you bridge those and create the trust that you need?
Well, I could start that with an anecdote from, I think it was when I was at when the Dutch hosted the WCO Technology Conference, and I was chatting to a chap who started to talk to me. He was a physics academic who started to tell me about how muon technology works from a physics perspective. I mean, I found it incredibly insightful and interesting and really fascinating, just the idea of cosmic rays kind of penetrating a good to find out. It was fast, but I got to tell you, I was drinking from the fire hose, I think is the expression we use. I was like, and struggling to keep up. And look, I think every discipline has its own jargon. Every sort of profession sort of has its sort of gatekeepers and tribes and different things. And I think really it's about understanding the problems we're trying to solve, and not necessarily be locked into a particular process or a particular technology or a particular mindset. It's saying, you know, this is, and bringing that back to a real basic idea of what it is we're trying to stop or do or whatever the problem is. I think a lot of the time that helps to bring the thinking to a bigger and broader discussion. One of the things I'm really keen to push within our own environment is this sort of demand-driven modernization. You know, we've got wonderful officers at the front line who have this incredible knowledge, but they're doing their job. They're not necessarily going to then be able to, in their downtime, translate that into a set of business requirements that a business analyst can pick up, right? So you need to be able to make sure that you've got people in the right spots to be able to pick up those ideas and help people to take them through. I think the same thing applies when we're engaging with academia. Now, yes, there are some hard line elements. So, you know, sometimes we're dealing with sensitive information. In fact, a lot of the times we are. And so we have to be mindful of those regulatory and legal requirements, and we have to be mindful of probity and integrity elements, which is absolutely one of our highest priorities than the ABF. But then I think we need to find ways to connect within them that aren't just the traditional industry sort of fora. That's something that, looking at the PenCP work, that I'm kind of really interested in understanding more about how that has come about and how that's facilitated, because it is a different audience to tap into, and they're not necessarily going to be looking at addressing your challenges, or my challenges, I should say. So I think creating that demand's important. I think creating an environment where we can all speak plainly about what it is that we're trying to solve. And then I think, you know, finding a way to facilitate that, you know, whether that's through, you know, grants or payments or whatever, you know, like, again, these things don't happen just because we want them to. Sometimes it's about stoking that interest and investment as well. So we're always open to that, but we're also very open to learning from PenCP about ways that you've done that and how your community has evolved over time to support that. Because the sense I've gotten from people I've spoken to is that it is a rich engagement and something of value to the administration and academia alike.
Yeah, no, it is interesting to see how people from different realms react when they're actually brought into the same room or into the same conversation. We're going to be doing a film series coming up in which we kind of go to different customs areas and then try to broaden the conversation and say, hey, here are some interesting problems. What would you do with them in an academic environment? So, you know, film is also a good way to really engage a broader audience. But as I said earlier, the problems that Australian Border Force, but customs in general, are dealing with are our society's problems, and good and bad. And everyone needs to be aware of how of the vitally important work that you're doing. That's part of what PenCP is all about, is really bringing the pieces of the puzzle together so that information flows more freely and awareness is raised.
Yeah. No, I think it's a great initiative in that sense.
To what extent does, within Australia, does the ABF share information with other governmental bodies? I don't know, postal, law enforcement, mm-hmm. regulatory agencies. Mm-hmm. And does this need to be improved, do you think?
Yeah, look, I think, as I mentioned before, in terms of our broader whole of government work, there is a lot of work that we do with other agencies, whether that's in the law enforcement space or biosecurity. As I mentioned, we do have our simplified trade system whole of government reform agenda. So we've got multiple forums in which we're looking at a lot of these challenges together. We're also looking at how we can better enhance that data sharing component as well. But there's also kind of long-standing elements. So when I think about our big mail facilities, like we've got a big mail gateway facility in Sydney, and co-located with the ABF is Australia Post and our agriculture colleagues, and they all work together, they share lunch together, they know each other. There's that people connection. And I think, sometimes more important than legislative requirements of information sharing is, sharing a chat over lunch. Yeah, exactly. There's also our connections across the law enforcement networks, across our element in terms of the work we do with our states and territory colleagues and law enforcement there, with the Australian Federal Police and lots of other parts. So, and obviously we also connect closely with other customs administrations, whether it's through the WCO or kind of direct partnerships and things like that. I think there's always things we could do better on that. And I think in our simplified trade system program, we have done a bit of work looking at that sort of data framework and how do we ensure that when we're collecting, you don't need to tell 16 government agencies, your address. Like, that's something we can probably do more efficiently. And so things like that, we're looking at ways where we can streamline those to make it easier for people. So, but again, I would say the kind of importance of integrity and security in those exchanges is critical. But it is something that we take very seriously anyway. So I think it's more about understanding kind of what's needed and what information is needed and then looking at ways that we can facilitate that within the legislative framework we have.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I will conclude with a very big picture question. No one answer is right or wrong, but maybe it'll allow us to sort of draw some of the threads of this fascinating conversation together or hit on things that we haven't hit on already. What do you perceive to be the key challenges for the next generation of customs officers at the ABF? Are there specific challenges in training the next generation of customs officers to meet future challenges and achieve a truly modernized ABF?
Yeah, that is a pickle. The challenge is, I think we need to be comfortable knowing that there's roles in customs that don't exist now or aren't natural to the work that we do now that will become critical. We talked before about the potential for AI and, potential for automated threat detection in an X-ray context. There's a potential that there will need to be a customs officer of the future that is just as comfortable opening up the Customs Act as they are opening up the spreadsheet or the code on an algorithm. An AI auditor, customs auditor or something like that. There's roles that we can't envisage now that, obviously we want to start to build the skills and the training, but not every customs officer in the future, ABF officer in the future is going to need, a data science background, but there will need to be people that have that skill set that can connect to the core DNA of what it is to be a customs officer or a border force officer. And I think it's about understanding where that technology is going and how we're able to kind of harness it and control it, because you don't want to have to constantly look outside to, you know, external providers or private sector or whatever to maintain these core parts. You know, that is something I think as the ABF that we would need to think about, you know, what are those roles of the future? What's the stuff that we can't really even conceptualize now? Because, you know, the future has a habit of creeping up on you. And so making sure that we're not flat-footed when we're thinking about these big parts is a key part of the work that our ABF, my colleagues in our workforce transformation area are looking at. And I think that's a real critical piece. I think the other part is, and it goes to sort of where that future of our border intermediaries or customs brokers and others are going, which is sort of also thinking about that in a broader context. Where is that industry heading and kind of what are the challenges that they face? Because it's important to see, again, in the ecosystem and as the, you know, the strategic asset, it's not just the ABF. There are other elements. And so where is that profession heading and what are they focusing on and what are they going to need? And I think that's important for us to think about as well, because it can be an exercise of, you know, just thinking about our own challenges, but, you know, that wouldn't be consistent with the way that we're looking at the border and importantly, where we want to position the ABF to be a, you know, truly responsive and proactive regulator. So I would think about that kind of where we are positioned amongst, you know, those intermediaries do a critical role for business and government and what their needs are. That's another area I think I would be looking to understand further as well. So, yeah.
70% growth coming down the pike at you in the future. As you say, the future does have a way of creeping up on you, and it seems like it's kind of stampeding in your direction, which is an exciting but daunting prospect, I would think.
Yeah, I think so. But, you know, that's what makes it fun, though, right? Like, you know, you don't want to be responsible for tables and chairs, right? You want to get in there as a public official and really hammer down the stuff that's going to matter. So, I don't know. I've got a really fantastic team, and I'm really confident in their ability to come up with good ideas to solve it. I'm just here to help them get them along. That's right.
Put it on your team. That's the wise move.
Thank you. Hopefully they don't listen to this now.
Oh, they will. They will. Guaranteed. Thank you very much, Ash Bell, Assistant Secretary for Customs and Border Modernization of the Australian Border Force, for this terrific conversation and for sharing your insights on the past and future evolution of customs from the point of view of one of the most innovation-minded border forces in the world.
Thanks so much, Tom. I appreciate the opportunity.
You've been listening to Pushing the Envelope, Life at the Cutting Edge of Customs Innovation, a podcast that profiles customs leaders, their views, ideas, and inspirations about the future of their field. Join us soon for our next podcast and another insightful conversation with customs trendsetters and forward thinkers. Thank you.